Greetings again this evening in the precious name of Jesus. Good to see all your faces again, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Just a verse to enforce what was last night. Obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. What we want this evening is verse 7. To all that be in Rome, to all that be in Bern, Indiana here this evening, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this little phrase stuck here in the verse of Verse 7 of chapter 1 in Romans, that says, beloved of God. What does that word beloved mean? But it means that you are dearly beloved. And that's for each one of us here this evening in this room. We are dear. We are dear to God. We are dearly beloved. Beloved of God. And here this evening, that's the springboard that brings that all our whole life flows out of. If we don't understand this principle, if we don't understand this truth in our lives, the other things that are supposed to work out in our lives will not work out. We need to have this foundation established. We need to have this set in our minds. This morning, I don't know, you're sitting here in Bern, Indiana. How many of you have ever been to the ocean? Let me see your hand. Praise the Lord. Even if you're in the middle of the country, you still saw the ocean sometime. What a glorious thing. That's the picture here this evening. You're playing at the ocean's edge. And when you look and when you were sitting at the ocean's edge, when you stood there and you were looking at that vast ocean, whether it was the East Coast or the West Coast, there was this vast body of water. All you were was getting your feet wet at the edge, or maybe you waded in 50 feet and maybe 100, a little more maybe, and you were riding the waves. Some of you maybe went out farther and were fishing. But here this evening, that ocean is a picture of the love of God. And it's something that I believe where it seems like we're only on the tip of this vast ocean of love. Something that is vast, expansive, something that is never-ending, the love of Jesus Christ or the love of God. We look at it in the Scriptures, some places it talks about the love of God, some places it talks about the love of Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord this evening that we have a triune God, and yet there's three distinct persons, yet they are one, and you cannot separate them. What a glorious thing. God loves you this evening with all your failures, with all your shortcomings, with your unbelief, overwhelming feelings, and sometimes your bumblings and stumblings. God loves you. And it's the foundation of unbelief, getting rid of unbelief. It's the foundation of whatever else all God has for us this week. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 17, verse 23. This verse is quite a verse. Only gripped my heart here a couple weeks ago, this verse. And I haven't been able to shake it since. Verse 23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Dear friend, here this evening, God loves you as much as He loves Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that something that's hard to almost put your mind around? It says it right here. And has loved them as thou hast loved me. Whew. Ain't that something? God loves you as much as He loved Jesus Christ. I can't comprehend that. Yet He did. And He does. And He loves you like He loved Jesus. Second Song of Solomon, verse 10. And that's all we're going to read in the Song of Solomon tonight. But you go through Song of Solomon sometime in your quiet time, and you find all the words that say love, beloved, and you think of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you just meditate on that and see what it says here. But in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 10, it says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's the same call yet today. That's the same call yet this week. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. That call is to you tonight. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Get away from these earthly trials and work and everything else. Rise up. Come away. Come away to Jesus Christ, to His love, to His beauty and His holiness. Now, here's some verses in 1 John 4 and also in Romans 5:8. I'll read Romans 5:8 first, and then we'll read in 1 John 4. tells us here in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. Is that what drew you? That's what drew me. The love of God. And that's what's still drawing. And we'll find out today how that is a we'll find out throughout as we go through the evening how it's a springboard for the rest of our life. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. What a glorious thing. He loved you so much. He left the glories of heaven and put his life on the line for you. And he put it in the his life on the line for me. What a beautiful thing. 1 John 4. Same truth said in a little different way. Tonight we're just going to dwell on this love of God. There's a lot encapsulated around it. But we have here 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And here tonight, love is a hard word sometimes to explain, but it tells us here, this is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us. And He sent His Son to be a propitiation for us. For our sins. Hallelujah. His love was first. Your love wasn't first. His love was first. His love was what was drawing. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel 9. Couple more beautiful verses here. Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel 9:23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I am come to shew thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. And it goes on and talks about the vision. Now turn with me to Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. One chapter over. And he says in verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when this he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And also in verse 19. Three times God says to Daniel, and in verse 19, and he said, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Brother and sister, we're going to need to see this. We're going to have to understand these principles in these last days. It's what's going to keep us strong. It's what's going to carry us through. It's what's going to, the rest of the week, the messages. We have to understand it. When Daniel here seen it, he trembled. A hand touched him. When he was on his knees and upon the palms of his hand, a hand touched him. Has that happened to you? You've been praying. You've been seeking the Lord. You've been worshiping. And His love was manifested to you. And you knew that God loved you. What a glorious thing. If it's never happened to you, seek after the Lord till you know with all your heart He loves you. It says a man greatly beloved, he trembled. And then also, in these days which we're living, in verse 19, he was strengthened. And God told him, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And Daniel's testimony was, I was strengthened. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And that's exactly right. When God reveals His love and manifests His love, and He comes to you with that stamp of love, it strengthens you. We'll find out later what all it does. Some people are afraid that if Christians obtain full assurance and receive a sweet sense of divine love, they will grow proud and be carried away in conceit. Do not you have any such fear for other people? And especially do not be afraid of it for yourselves, my friend. That's exactly right. Actually, what happens, I know of no greater blessing that can happen to any man or woman here than to be assured by the Spirit of God that they are greatly beloved of the Lord. That is true. I say amen 100%. There's no greater blessing. Such knowledge might do some of us who are Christians the greatest conceivable good. Daniel was not injured by knowing that he was greatly beloved. And here this evening, when you know that you are greatly beloved, it will not make you proud. Instead, it'll humble you. And that's what happened here with Daniel. That's why he trembled. He was humbled in the presence of God. He was not made proud. He was not conceited. He was not lifted up. I believe tonight a sense of God's love is more humbling than a sense of our own sin. I believe that. When we see God's love, it's more humbling than a sense of our own sin. When the two are blended, they sink us low. Not in depression of spirit, but in estimation of itself. In estimation of where we are in our own self, when we know the love of God and also have a sense of our own sin, you put those two together, it brings us low. Not in depression of spirit, but it brings us to the place of undoneness and an estimation of our own goodness. And friend, here this evening, when God comes and you see His love, it humbles us. It drives us to our knees. And it makes us that we are just want to worship. I was so blessed with song number 18. Did ever human tongue find nobler theme than love divine that ransomed me? Hallelujah! No. What love? Such wondrous love. You know, I've been in my own devotions these days. I'm reading in Leviticus and Exodus. And seeing the children of Israel, they did not understand the love of God. That's why they went up and down. Joseph, I believe with all my heart, Joseph understood the love of God. That's how he was able to be strong. I believe Isaiah, there in the throne room of God in Isaiah 6, when he said, woe is me, I'm undone, here am I, Lord, send me. He understood the love of God. Pharaoh, did he understand the love of God? No, he did not. But there were some men in the Bible that understood the love of God. The question to you and me tonight is, do I understand the love of God? Do I understand that I'm greatly beloved? Do I understand that Jesus, God loves me as much as He loved Jesus Christ? Do I understand that? That's the question. The love of God, it's everlasting. Jeremiah 31:3-3 will take a... There's just a couple of verses in Scripture here that talk of God's love that we want to just see here. Jeremiah 31:3-3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. His love will never fail. His love, it don't matter how long this world stands, His love will be everlasting throughout all eternity. God's love will be everlasting. And He, because of that, He appeared to us. And He, with His loving kindness, He drew us. Praise the Lord for that. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. We had read a little bit of this last night, but we'll read it again this evening in a different light. Verse 6, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen for the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. Hallelujah. But His love that He set upon you is not because of that you're some great person of some kind. And we said it on Monday night. There's not a person sitting in here with a coat of many colors. There is not some special respected person in here that's above everybody else. But tonight, God loves you, and He loves you, and He loves you, and He loves you, and it's the same love. Hallelujah. It don't matter if you've been born with a defect. It don't matter if you think you look funny. It don't matter if you think that you can't speak. It don't matter if you think that you can't perform. It don't matter what you think of yourself. God loves you as much as He loves everyone in this room and the whole world. God didn't set His love on you because you are special above somebody else. No. But He did set His love on you because you are special to Him. And why? And then here He says, the Lord loves you because He wants to bring you out with a mighty hand and redeem you from the house of the bondman, the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We'll talk about redemption here in a little bit. But here this evening, see, it says here He loves you, and then He's going to keep His oath and bring you out and redeem you. And what does that say? He has a plan for you. He has a plan, young person, even 5-year-old sitting in here, He has a plan for you. And even grandma and grandpa and every one of us in between, He has a plan for you. Continue to go after it. I know in the children of Israel here, He revealed that plan day by day. And most times that's how it is for us. It's not a thing that He reveals. But He led them in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. and daily is how he does it. He don't tell us too far in the future, and I'm thankful for that. So here tonight, he loves you so much, just turn your life over. Give your future. Give your plans. Give your wishes. Give your dreams to the one who loves you. And let him put the pieces into place. And let him bring the future into that it makes sense. You can trust him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that he's going to make life trying. That he's going to make life hard. Don't be afraid of that. His love, he has your good in mind. And his plan is a beautiful thing. There's nothing more fulfilling than a surrendered life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that his love has gripped your life and is guiding you. Now we see in here that he wants to redeem us. I see Isaiah 63 verse 9 also I want to look at. And there's a 63 verse 9, Isaiah 63 verse 9. In their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them, and in his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and bare them and carried them all the days of old. Friend here this evening, I don't care what you go through. If you feel that you have afflictions, be settled in your heart that if you're going through afflictions, the Lord Jesus is right by you, and he's being afflicted too. Settled. In their afflictions, he was afflicted. If you hurt, he hurts. If you have pain, Jesus has pain. He's not far away from every one of us. And in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. What does redemption mean but to purchase back? To ransom, to liberate or rescue from captivity or bondage, or from any obligation or liability. There's a story back there at home of a young man I know that had a business, and he took that thing and run it into the ground. Way deep in debt. He had to sell his place. He had to sell liquidate. He had to get rid of everything so he could pay the debt that he owed. He got rid of everything. He sold the business. He sold all the tools and everything else. And it come to his home. The home went up on auction. And that thing was there that night up on the auction block. And the auctioneer's auctioning that thing off. And the auctioneer come to the end. 400-some thousand, and he's knocked it off and said it's sold. Who bought it but his dad? That's redemption. He could continue to live there. He could continue to, now his dad, I think he had to pay it back then. But he didn't know. His dad didn't tell him he's going to do that. His dad didn't tell him that he's going to that auction and he's going to buy his house. He didn't tell him. But out of the love for his son, out of the love and compassion, even if his son messed up terrible and made some bad business dealings, he reached out. He bought that home. And his son could continue to live there. That's redemption. And that's same with each one of our lives here this evening. We were there. We run our lives into the ground. I don't know what your testimony and what your story is. But I know I did. I ran my life into the ground. Jesus saw some worth back there 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. And he knew that, and out of his great love, he's going to draw and he's going to woo Kenny Knowles. And what a glorious thing. The love of God has it encapsulated your heart. The love of God has it enraptured your heart. Not only that, He redeemed them and bare them and carried them all the days of old. What a beautiful thing to praise the Lord. The assurance. We all know the story of the palm of one set of footprints where the fellow wandered. Some days there were a set of two footprints, and other days there was a set of one footprints. He asked the master why there's only one set of footprints, and that was the days it was going so hard. He said, "That's because I was carrying you." We know that story. The love of God. That's what it does. The love of God, it carries us, it bears us, and it has a plan, and it humbles us. I don't know, it's something when I think of the love of God, how what it does in your heart, and what it does to motivate you to continue to press on. Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. And He will joy over thee with singing. Tonight, God is at rest in His love over you. You rest in it too. You rest in it and be at peace in your own heart with His love. John 15:9 says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And I know us, some of our background, we're used to looking at God with a big stick. And we're looking at God as somebody to be feared, and I know we talked about the fear of God on Monday night, but this fear that's driven by love is not a fear that makes us move because we think there's somebody coming behind us with a big stick. That's not the fear. And I know that with some of our backgrounds and some of our upbringings, because of the insecurity and not knowing love, we have a hard time understanding God's love. And sometimes for ourselves, we just have to open our lives and see, and receive it. Song we just learned a couple weeks ago. Open wide thy heart today. Let Jesus in. Trust Him and obey. And then at the end it says, His love will fill. His love will fill your heart if you open it up. Now, sometimes we have to empty it. And maybe we'll talk about that later some other night. I don't know. But sometimes we have to empty our heart of things so that His love can fill. But if we open that thing wide open, He's coming in. He's going to fill it. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to 23:5. Deuteronomy 23:5. Some valuable truths in this word here. Ah, what a glorious thing. Again, it'd be nice to get the verses around it, but for sake of time, we got to keep on going. Deuteronomy 23, verse 5. Talking here about Balaam and the curse that he wanted to put on the children of Israel. In verse 5, it says, "Never the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee. Because the Lord thy God loves thee." Praise the Lord. There are times in our life what Satan means for evil, God takes around and makes something good out of it. Praise the Lord. Different times. I know He's done it in my life. There are times that things were happening and Tennessee, and God come in there and He turned that thing and made something beautiful out of it, and He can do the same for each one of us. Praise the Lord. And the same here. Look at this. What God didn't hearken unto Balaam, and He took the curse and instead turned it into a blessing because He loves you. Here tonight, don't listen to the lies of the enemy, where he's saying your prayer isn't answered, so God don't love you. Where he's saying that you can't be like so-and-so, so how can God love you? He didn't give you gifts that so-and-so has. God don't love you. These are lies that the devil comes and tries to put into our hearts. Don't listen to him. You can't have what someone else has. God can't love you. That's a lie from the pit. That's a lie from the enemy. God does love you. And He has your good in mind. Don't listen to Satan's lies, where he says that God don't love you, and there's nothing that can be made out of your life. There's something good can be made out of your life. There's hope in that tonight. Open your heart to it and receive it and accept it. Because God will not listen to the curses. He'll instead pour love there and turn it into a blessing. Don't listen to the Lord. Don't listen to the devil. But listen to what the Lord says instead. And take His promises and accept them into your heart. Isaiah 43 verse 4. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 4. Here, I was telling you that don't listen to the lies of the devil. Well, here's a verse. And God is loves you. Verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight. There it is. What I was saying before is Bible. You are precious in God's sight. I don't care who you are here tonight. You are precious in God's sight. Open your heart to that truth and accept it. You are precious in His sight. Thou hast been honorable and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. What a beautiful thing. Out of missions, out of the love of God, goes missions. You were precious. I loved you. I'm going to give you men and people. Is what He says. And friend here this evening, you have a heart for the lost. Keep that heart for the lost. Because He promises you're precious. He loves you. He'll give you men and people. What a beautiful thing. Don't let Him down. Friend here this evening, don't let the Lord Jesus Christ down. He loves you. Open wide your heart today. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we say it together? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If that don't melt your heart of stone, I don't know what will. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might have life. Because God loved, He gave. He gave His Son. He gave His all. He gave everything. He gave and didn't hold nothing back. The Lord God Almighty, He gave His Son, Jesus, for you. For you, young person. For you. For you. For you. God gave His Son. What are you doing with His Son? What are you doing? Have you opened wide your heart the whole way? No reserve. Nothing at all. My heart's wide open. Come in, Lord Jesus. Take full control. Romans 5:8. For God commended His love toward us even while we were yet sinners. I think is how it goes. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wooing power of the love of God. The wooing power of the love of Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the drawing. That's the pull that is drawing and pulling on your heart here this evening, pulling on your life, to bring you to full surrender, unconditional abandonment to the Lord Jesus. Sinner friend, God, that's the wooing that you feel in your heart. The love of God. It's drawing you this evening. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 8 for us, for the Christians sitting in here tonight. We have these promises. Romans chapter 8. We have in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it goes on there. But in verse 37, that's the verse we want. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And here this evening, because God loves us, you can be a conqueror. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be living in doubt. You don't have to be living in defeat. But you can be living in victory. You can be more than a conqueror because God loves you. Jesus loves you. What a beautiful thing. Quit fooling around in the grass. Go to the higher... Why be a quail that runs around in the grass? Take the eagle's wings and fly. Fly above the clouds. Don't sit around dilly-dallying. You can be more than a conqueror because God loves you. And because He loves you, grasp it. Yes, may it give you strength. May it give you encouragement. May it quicken you. Because it tells us that His love quickens us. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The quickening power of the Lord's love. What a beautiful thing. When we are surrendered and we walk with Him on a daily basis and we continue to have our heart wide open and don't let it get filled with other things, He will quicken. What a glorious thing to feel that quickening power, to know that quickening power. To see that His grace is flowing through us and we have the strength to live above sin and the world when we know that we shouldn't be. But we, because of the grace of God flowing through us, it happens. And it's all Him. And it humbles us some more. Now just notice, we have that but God there in verse 4. And it tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sin. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Keep them verses in the back of your mind. We'll come back to these a little bit later. Now, let's turn in your Bibles to chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 1, "Be ye therefore fellows of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us, and has given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." But, and he goes on and lists a bunch of things there, "fornication, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." What we want to see here, though, first is Jesus' love, His love, and Him giving His life was a sweet smell to God. So that's keep that in mind. And now turn with me in your Bibles to Titus 3, verse 4. Tells us here in verse 2, "To speak evil of no man, put them in mind," in verse 1, "to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, shewing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But," there's another but, "after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we had done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." There's where the sentence stops. There's a but in verse 4. "The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." There's something that happens here in that but. In Ephesians 2, we have a but. Titus 3, we have a but. You know what that's saying? After the but in Ephesians 2 is, "But God quickened us." What it's saying is what happened in those first couple verses in Ephesians 2. They're past tense. Same with here in Titus 3. Because the but's in there, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. That's on this side. The sin that is in 1 and 2 is past tense. That's what happens when God gets the, when you understand the love of God. Sin goes past tense. And if you're fooling around with sin, and if you're fooling around with the world, do you understand the love of God? Ephesians chapter 2. "In time past you walked according to the course of this world." Is that what you're doing tonight? Your decisions that you're making, are they being dictated by the world? By the course of this world? Or are they being dictated by the love of Jesus? Are you walking according to the prince of the power of the air that worketh in the spirit, in the children of disobedience? You're walking in the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Is that what you're doing tonight? Or is the love of God directing you? Is the love of God drawing you? Is the love of God what's helping you make your choices? Or is it the prince of the power of the air? Or is it the course of this world? Or is it the spirit of disobedience? Which is it? When the love of God comes, there should be a but in your life. and sin and the world should be past tense. And from here on, it's the love of God that's motivating and guiding you. We have a little boy. Cut his finger. Through that, he's little. Sticks his finger in his mouth. And the thing got infected and he got strep. He got viral strep. And this thing got all kinds of blisters and exploded all over his finger. All the way down. And he couldn't, he's little. He didn't know how to keep a band-aid on this thing. So we had to wrap it up. We had to put a sock over his hand to keep that wrap on. Now, do we love Jesus? Do we hope that that thing's going to heal 50%? And we're going to continue to put a wrap on the rest of his life? Or are we hoping for complete healing? Amen. Are we hoping that that thing's going to heal totally? The wrapping goes. And we don't have to fool with that thing no more. Sinner friend, dear friend, that's how God is looking at you. He's looking for 100%. Not 75%. Not 50%. He wants it all. He wants you that you're not walking after the course of this world. Not going after the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He wants that gone. 100%. Not just 50. That's what the love of God does. God's love is so great. He wants us to be totally pure. Clean and free. From dirty thoughts, foolish speaking, anger, and bitterness. I don't know if we'll go into those things deeper on in the week, guys. See how the Lord leads. But in jealousy and pride and just judging and being restless and not content and showing off. The Lord wants that you to be free from that stuff. He wants you that you're not walking after the course of this world. He wants you to not be walking after the prince of the power of the air. He wants you to be walking after Him. After His love. That's what He wants. Keep these things that I just mentioned in your back of your mind. 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what, verse 1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Does the world know you? Does the world know you? If they do, does the love of God dwell in you? Tells us in verse 15 and 2, love not the world. If the love of the world is there, the love of the Father is not there. And He tells us here, what manner of love? Because we were here, we were sinners. We were wicked. We were going our own way. We were actually sort of like slapping the Lord Jesus in the face. And saying, you died for me, so what? And slap Him in the face. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. We shouldn't be called the sons of God, but we are. Can you imagine that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, dear John, beloved. He has the language of heaven. Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. If you have that love and that hope in your heart, it drives you to continue to purify yourself. Paul says, I'm not apprehended, but I follow after. And he's pressing on that he can apprehend that which he can, which he's been apprehended for. And for us too, keeps us, the love of God continues to motivate us and drive us to higher planes. And it makes us that we can't stop. What does the Bible tell us in 2 Corinthians 5:14? For the love of Christ constraineth us. It's what the Bible says. It's the love of Christ doing that in your life. And he talks then about, in verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And from there he goes right into the ambassadors for Christ. Is that love for Christ constraining you? Or is it dilly-dallying with the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience? Which is it? I believe when we understand the love of God, it will consecrate us. When we know certainly that we are beloved of God, don't matter if we can't live like other people do. That's all right. It don't matter. We cannot trifle with sin. He who lives in the heart of the King must be faithful to Him. If called to stand in God's immediate presence as a courtier and a favorite, you must take care how you behave yourself, and you will do so. You will. What if God would call you and say, come up here, I have an important message for you to take to the United States of America. Wouldn't that make you stand to attention? Wouldn't that make sure that everything in my life is accepted with Him? Would that do that? The love of God, when we see the love of God, it consecrates us. And he that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. In proportion as we are sure of his love to us, our love to him will burn like coals of fire, which have a most vehement heat, and everything contrary to the will of God will be consumed in that blessed flame. Hallelujah. Now, those things I mentioned, that pride, the trying to impress people, bitterness, jealousy, showing off, being insecure, and we'll add a couple more. Do you feel threatened by people? Or are you competing? Or are you inferior and a worry wart? Those are symptoms of an orphan syndrome. And my dear friend, I have a couple sisters that passed through the change of life in their mid-20s, never could have children. And one of them has adopted 4, and the other one has adopted 3, and just one of our workers here a couple weeks ago had adoption, and that was number 12 for us. And I tell you what, I hope they don't stop. There's something about adoptions that show you how we are adopted into the family of God. And here this evening, what for symptoms do you have? If you're adopted, what are some of the blessings that come from adoption? Call them out. Can you think of some? You have the blessing of whatever's in that family, it's yours. You have the blessing of being able to belong. You have the blessing of being accepted. You have the blessing of being loved. You have the blessing of not having to worry. Well, your dad will take care of you. You have those blessings if you're an adopted child. And how are we this evening in the family of God, except we all are adopted? Don't hang on to those orphan syndromes. Instead, take the receive the blessings of adoption. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Because He loves us, He gives us everlasting consolation and He gives us good hope. Through grace. And what is hope? Something that you anticipate. You know, coming even to Burn, Indiana. Something you hope for. Something you anticipated. Something that you were longing for. Sure, you surrendered it to God, and if something else would have happened, have thine own way, Lord. Yet, that is what hope is. It's something that you know will come. Not that you think maybe it will come. No, the hope of heaven, good hope and everlasting consolation is something that comes because of the love of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 5, verse 5. When we open wide our hearts to this love, this is what will happen. Hope maketh not ashamed. I could talk about tribulation and patience, experience and hope. Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. What will happen when you open your heart to the love of God? It can't stay there. But it flows out. And families, fathers, husbands, wives, children, church people, out to a lost and dying world. We open our hearts to the love of God. It's going to be shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. It's something that don't stay put. And dear friend, if you've tasted it once, you'll want more. That's how the love of God is. You taste it once, you're not satisfied. You taste it once, give me more, Lord. The man that drinks of it, he wants more. The fellow that's eaten the bread of heaven, the bread of earth will never satisfy. And the wings of eagles will take you to a clear atmosphere. That's how the love of God is. What is the love of God doing in your heart tonight? Is the love of God full? And when you get bumped, that's what comes out. You know, this thing of the love of God, each one of us must experience it individually. Just because I'm up here talking about it, I'm not going to tell you that how it is. I can talk about it, but that's not going to tell you how it is. We can talk about it theologically. We can talk about it historically. But the love of God is something like, I don't know, how many people have been to the Rocky Mountains? Quite a few in this room. But there's something in the Rocky Mountains that if people come home, they bring these pictures and they tell you about this mountain and they tell you about that mountain and they tell you how this one was so gorgeous. We went down this road and over here they were so majestic. And they show you these pictures and don't, the pictures don't do it justice. When you finally see him in person, or whatever else, you go on a trip somewhere, and it's something that you're not used to, it's not an everyday thing, you don't live there, you bring the pictures back, and you try and show it to others, but it's not like experience it in person. That's why the love of God is. You must experience it in person. Then you'll know what the Bible is talking about. It'll ground you and it'll settle you. Ephesians 3, verse 19. And we're getting close to the end. Verse 17 in Ephesians 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded. And I know these days that we're living in are perilous times. And they're only going to get more perilous. We're going to have to be rooted and we're going to have to be grounded if we're going to stand the test of time. This is the thing that will ground us and it will root us. Rooted and grounded in God's love. To know the love of Christ, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There's something about the love of God that brings humility. There's something about the love of God that brings undoneness. There's something about the love of God that makes us want to step to the plate and take our role in life. And there's something about the love of God that makes us thankful. So thankful. We're so filled with gratitude. Holy gratitude. And you know what holy gratitude is? It's the mother of obedience. When we feel how much we owe, and we seek to know the will of God and take delight in doing it, whatsoever He saith unto us, we are glad to do, as proof that we really are grateful for love so amazing, so divine. Think of Daniel tonight. There in Daniel chapter 10, he knew he was beloved of God. And before chapter 10, what do we have? But Daniel being in the lion's den. Daniel being thrown in the den of lions. Do you think Daniel understood the love of God when he was thrown in the den of lions? I believe he understood it. I believe that's what kept him. It made him courageous. And tonight the love of God will do the same for you. It will make you courageous. It will make you be able to stand against the world. It will make you be able to stand against the course of this world and the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It will make you brave. Not an arrogant brave. No, a humble braveness. The boldness that the apostles had in the book of Acts. It makes us glad. How can we be miserable and discontent when we're dwelling and resting in the love of God? How can we? We can't. Those two can't dwell together. They can. So this evening, as you sat here listening to the love of God, where are you? Have you received it? Have you accepted it? Have you maybe not forgiven yourself on something? If you don't forgive yourself, you can't receive the love of God. If you're hard on yourself, that you can never measure up, or life is too hard, receive the love of God. Open your heart and confess it. If you're not a Christian, then open your heart and receive the love of God. Sure, there's maybe things you have to empty up. It's full of other things. You can't accept the love of God, can't come in if it's full of the world. If you look at God with a big stick, ready to take you off your feet as soon as you fail Him, this message is for you. To understand the love of God. The love of God is compassionate. It's gentle. And it will woo if we do sin. There's a still small voice that if we nurture and listen to, He'll bring us back in a gentle way instead of having to swipe you off the... And I know that's some of the views of God. If you have a besetting sin, share that so the love of God can enter in. And it can be a but there, and that thing can go. And you'll be able to instead have that in past tense in the day, there can be a but there. Song of Solomon 2, verse 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me to His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And also, Jude 21. Last night we had building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Tonight it's 21. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If you're there in the love of God, then stay there. Praise the Lord. Keep yourself in the love of God. His banqueting, He brings us to His banqueting house, and His banner over us is love. Do you have a song, brother? '99.